for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Matthew 25, going to read verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Jesus told this story as part of a long teaching about his second coming and the end of this era of human history. The main point that he has been making through all this teaching about the second coming is that he is coming again when people least expect it. So it is important to be personally prepared for his coming. Now, the beginning of the story might seem a wee bit odd to us because, well, it isn't the way that we do weddings in our culture. But for the first listeners, this story would have been a very normal scene. In a Jewish wedding of the time, the bride remained in her own house, and the bridegroom would come from his parents' house to the bride's house. The bridesmaids would all call out the bridegroom's coming, and then those bridesmaids would escort the bride back to her husband's family's house. There the wedding ceremony would take place and the big banquet. So the 10 bridesmaids would wait for this shout that the bridegroom was coming. Nowadays, it's fashionable for the bride to be late. But in those days, it was often the bridegroom who was late. A simple reason. They'd be haggling over the bridal price. I mean, you know, maybe if you had a daughter, you might be thinking, "Do you know what? Just take her. Just take her. I want rid of her." No, you wouldn't normally be thinking that. But in those days, if you didn't haggle, you didn't want to appear like she's not worth much. You're selling her off, not selling her off, but you're giving her off too cheap. So you did this haggling, and it would go on often to quite late in the evening. So this parable of Jesus starts in a familiar way. The bride's at home, her bridesmaids, these 10 virgins, they're waiting expectantly on the bridegroom coming, but he's late. But then the story develops in a very unexpected way. And for those first listeners, that would have been an indication to them, this is the important point coming up. You've heard the familiar. There's something unexpected. So listen up, folks, because something really important is going to be said. And a very surprising story, because up to this point, there appears to be no difference in the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins. All of them were there. They were gathered with their lamps. They were all waiting for the bridegroom to come. But because he was a long time in coming, they all became drowsy and they all fell asleep. But at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" And although they'd been waiting for him, they weren't expecting him to come at this late hour. So as soon as they heard the shout, they jumped up, they trimmed their lamps. But now, in the moment, at the very moment of the bridegroom's arrival, all similarity ends in the 10 virgins. It was immediately obvious. 5 of them were ready to meet the bridegroom, but 5 of them weren't. They weren't ready. The 5 foolish virgins suddenly realized they didn't have enough oil for their lamps, so they asked the other virgins for some of theirs. The wise, they'd come prepared, and they said, no, because then there may not be enough for us. You're going to have to go out and buy your own. So they set out at midnight to buy oil for their lamps. But when they were away, the bridegroom arrived. Those who were prepared went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. This evening, this is a very solemn message, it's a strong warning of the urgent need to be personally prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. The question is not, do you believe that Jesus is coming again? The question is not, do you belong to the church? The question is not, have you at some point prayed a prayer asking Jesus into your heart? The question is, are you born again? Are you living and prepared for Jesus right now? Are you sure you're ready for his coming? Because the point of this parable is that the coming of Jesus will be without warning. It will be a time when people are not expecting him to come. Jesus gave many signs of his coming. They've already been, most of them, been fulfilled. You see, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. Do those things not happen somewhere every year in our world at this time? I tell you, I'm not interested in speculation about one event or another event signaling the return of Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, war, rumors of war, earthquakes, famines, tsunamis, tragedies, all of these things will mark all of human history until the day that Jesus Christ returns. What these signs tell us is this, that in times just like this, in times just like we are living in, Jesus will return. I sometimes wonder if this is part of the reason that we have lost our evangelistic age in the church, is that many of us don't actually believe that Jesus could return at any moment. And so we live to please ourselves. We live for our own comfort. We live for our own blessing instead of living to save a dying world. The Bible says that just as in the days of Noah, what were people doing in the days of Noah when he's building the ark? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. Jesus said, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What are people doing today? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. In other words, we will all just be doing our normal stuff. We'll be getting up, we'll be going to work, we'll be shopping, we'll be cleaning, we'll be playing golf and tennis and whatever else you do. And then suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus will return. That's the reality. In that moment, I love this, there'll be the shout of the archangel. Oh, I love that. The trumpet call of God. And then Christ will appear. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Friends, it will be instantaneous. It will be immediate. And every eye shall see him. Look, Revelation 1:7 says, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. John says in John 5:28-29, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Did you know that? If you read John 5:28-29 and the wee bit further, you will see that is not just talking about those who have died in Christ. That is also talking about those who haven't. They will all be in their graves and they will hear his voice and they will come out. In that moment, friends, all similarities and differences between the peoples of the earth will disappear, and there will be two groups, those who are prepared to meet him and those who are not. That will be it. It won't be about church. It won't be about religion. It won't be about a prayer prayed some point in the past. It will be about, are you ready? Are you ready in that moment to meet him? Friends, I ask you, are you ready? When Jesus told the part about the foolish virgins asking the wise for some of their oil, and the wise replying, no, there's not enough for both of us, you have to go out and get your own, Jesus was making one point very clear. Each person has to be personally and individually prepared. When that moment comes, somebody else's faith, no matter how great their faith, no matter how much love they had, somebody else's faith cannot be transferred to you. Each person will stand on their own at that moment. I cannot imagine a greater horror than hearing the shout of Jesus' return and you crying out to your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, to some friend and say, give me some of your preparedness. Friends, it can't be done. You may well believe in Jesus. You may well believe he's coming again. You may well have made a decision. You may well be a good person. But friend, the question is this: are you ready? Are you personally prepared to meet him? If not, you need to get ready, because the moment will come. Jesus said he will come as a thief in the night, and come when we're all doing our normal stuff. At an hour when we least expect him, he will come. And if you're not ready, it will be too late. You won't be able to call on someone else for help. You won't be able to regain lost opportunities. I often think about that. I often think about, in my lifetime, the sermons I have preached, the gospel sermons I have preached, and people sitting listening. And the horror for me would be that on that day, people would think back to my preaching or somebody else's preaching when they had an opportunity and the invitation was there, and they closed off their heart. They said, another time, I'm not ready, or not just yet. No wonder Paul urged the Corinthians not to receive the grace of God in vain. This is the day for calling out for salvation. This is the time of salvation. Because once Jesus returns, friends, once he returns, the day for calling out is finished. The day of favor, the day of grace, the day of salvation is closed. The bridegroom arrived. The five wise virgins, they went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Reminds me a bit on when Noah and his family, they went into the ark and God closed the door. This is for you, my friend. The door was shut. Those are words of dreadful finality. Are they not? Are they not? The door was shut. Today, right now, in this meeting, the door's still open. Still open. This is your time to get right with God. Who knows if the door will be open tomorrow? You might say, oh, I can come here next week and hear the gospel and make that decision. Or I can come in a few years when I've done some other stuff. Who knows? Who knows if you have another breath? Who knows if the Spirit will stop striving with you and you won't even be aware of the hardness of your own heart because you won't even care about it? Is he speaking to you this evening? Well, if he is, I urge you, don't ignore his call. This is a decision not only for this life. This decision determines where you spend all eternity. The door was shut, but those unwise virgins, they're running about and they're trying somewhere to buy oil in the middle of the night. They're attempting to make up for their lack of preparation after the bridegroom arrives, but they were too late. And they eventually came to the door and they said, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." Can you feel that moment? Can you feel that moment? The door is shut. "Sir, sir, open the door for us." Can you sense the desperation, the panic? Can you see yourself banging on that door? "Please open the door for me. I'm sorry. My mother's in there. My father's in there. My brothers are in there. Open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you." Those are some of the most terrible words in the whole Bible. Those are words you never want to hear. Christian, and I know most of us here tonight are believers. Friends, you might think, well, why am I here listening to a gospel message? To tell others. To tell others. What about your mother or father? What about your sons and daughters? What about your brothers and sisters? Are they going to be banging on that door saying, "Sir, sir, open the door for us"? Friends, tell them. Tell them that the door is going to be shut. There will be no negotiating. There will be no bargaining. There will be no bribing. Because this is the day of salvation. And when the door is shut, it's over. No wonder the prophet Isaiah said in 55:6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." He's near this evening. He is near this evening. He can be found by you this very night. Peter says, the coming of Jesus is delayed for one reason and one reason only. It is the patience of God. God, who does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Our loving God, who doesn't want to have anyone outside that door begging to be let in. The Apostle Paul urged the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So I'm urging you tonight, are you in the faith? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Friends, if you are, praise God. Praise God. And if you are, I give you a challenge as I challenge myself right now. In this next week, tell somebody this story. Say, can I tell you a story? If you don't have the courage, they'll run you off a CD of tonight's meeting. They'll run you off after the service. There'll be no charge. Just ask somebody for it. Ask Dave at the back. He'll give it to you. And just say to somebody, can I give you that? Can you just listen to that? We need to be evangelistic. We need to tell people. Even in Ballymoney Town, what a town of what, sort of 10,000 people? How many people are ready? And here we are speaking to 40, 50 people, the majority of whom are ready. We need to reach our town. And if you're not ready tonight, he welcomes you. He says, come to me. Come. The door is open today. Enter in. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you didn't pull any punches when it came to speaking about your second coming. You didn't speak about it flippantly. You didn't speak about it in such a way as people thought it was of no importance. Lord Jesus, you spoke about it repeatedly, solemnly, urgently. Lord, in the early church, the believers lived as if you were coming this week. They lived at the ready, believing you were coming so soon. And Lord, nobody knows the day or the hour, but forgive us if we have become a bit like people living as if it's so far away. Lord, help us as believers to live with an urgency in our hearts to spread the gospel, that the door is open, but it is going to close. Lord, how we cannot bear the thought of any of our own loved ones banging on that door. Sir, sir, open the door for us. We cannot bear it, Lord. Lord, help us to speak to our loved ones, to pray for them. But also, Lord, for those that we don't know. Lord, it was for these also that you died. Lord, for the 10,000 in Ballymoney Town and the surrounding districts that you love, and some of whom still haven't even heard the message that you are coming again. Help us, O God, to lose our shame, lose our embarrassment, lose our fear, and to spread this glorious message of your wonderful gospel. I pray in your name. Amen.
If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.